To Get You Fit Radio, the radio show that helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. Part of leading a healthy lifestyle entails so many things. And today, I actually have a guest here who isn't part of my program. This is shocking, I'm sure, for those of you that are listening. And those of you that are listening to my shows are probably like, Get You Fit has a guest that is not part of her program. Let me tell you the story, but first, let me introduce my guest, Michael Barrett. Michael, hello.
Good morning, Irene. How you doing?
Good. Michael, thank you and welcome to our show.
Well, today I am here to talk about my DST journey. Now, Dr. Barrett here, that's me. I'm not a doctor, really. But I call it my deadly sweet tooth journey. and I thought it would go right in well, hand in hand with what you do. And who knows? Maybe someday soon, I will be a part of your minion.
Maybe. But you know what? That's very interesting that you said that, because you already are, without even knowing it. Because having a sweet tooth, I think already my listeners have all perked up. Everybody has already chimed in and said, who's this Michael guy? He's already part of your tribe, because so many of my listeners have sweet tooths. And so I'm going to kind of talk about how I know Michael, how I met Michael, and what he's doing here today as being a member of my show. So first off, those of you chiming in and listening, today I actually have a sponsor for our show. Today's show is being sponsored by Stillwell Social. Stillwell Social provides social media strategies for local businesses, and I'm going to tell you all about them during the break. All right, so Michael. I recently met Michael on one of my business journeys. I recently joined a referral group, and it's a group that we meet every single week. And those of you that are listening and that know me that I'm very, very busy. And right away, I thought, every week I have to go to this meeting, and you know, we used to meet at a weekly restaurant, and you know, we had to order weekly food. And those of you that know me know 100% that I am non-judgmental. I do not look around and I do not notice what people eat. I would just mind my own business and order my egg whites and my avocado, right, Michael?
See, that is correct.
But as soon as I announced that I was a nutritionist, furthermore, a weight loss specialist, I really kind of wondered what people's thinking was when they would continue to order their, you know, slabs of bacon and you know, omelets that were laced with cheese. Nonetheless, as weeks progressed, I did notice that Michael, who is actually a real estate attorney, was shedding pounds week after week after week after week. But yet I noticed that his breakfast entrees week after week after week after week really hadn't changed. I really didn't notice him ordering, you know, these minuscule little meals. I didn't notice him, you know, shaving down his portions. I noticed him continuing to enjoy his hearty breakfast. But yet he continued to get smaller in size. And I noticed that he was looking healthier and happier. Well, once I got to know him and people started commenting about his weight loss, I discovered the secret to his weight loss success. And so he's here actually to kind of tell us about that. So, and then I kind of gave you a little foreshadowing because he revealed it with the S word. He is just like I used to be. I'm a former sugar addict. I'm very open about that. Michael is here to kind of tell us about that. He's going to tell us a little bit about his career, about his family, about some of his goals, his eating habits, and he's going to really kind of keep us really occupied and our attention grabbed for the next 20 minutes. So, Michael, welcome to our show. And will you please start out by telling us a little bit about you, a little bit about your, what did you call it, your sugar?
DST.
DST.
The deadly sweet tooth that I suffered from.
Love it.
And yes, it's true. I am a real estate attorney, and usually attorneys, you know, we just do cross-examination. But today I am here to testify in that I have been saved by, believe it or not, just applying for life insurance. I was applying for a particular life insurance policy, and the agent called me up, and it was like she was giving this deadly news from a doctor, you know, like I was in a cancer ward or something. She said, "Oh, New York Life has turned you down." And I said, "Oh, well, really? I'd been to a few physicals in the last few years. Everything seemed to be great." And I was not expecting that whatsoever when I was applying for life insurance. You have to take a blood test. And she said, "Yeah, you know, we sent you online the results. Why don't you look at them?" And I can't say anything more. And so I looked at the results, and the results showed that there was an ALT test and then an AST test. Both of them are for the measuring of your liver and your kidneys. And they were both like, one was 7 times greater than what the normal is, and the other one was more than 5 times greater than what the normal is. So something was going on with my liver and my kidneys. And that scared the heck out of me. So I went ahead and I tried to get a hold of my doctor as soon as possible, and he scheduled me for 2 days later. But in the meantime, for those 48 hours, I was scared. And so I did what I'm sure every physician recommends. I looked it all up on the internet.
Good job.
And of course, the internet scared the heck out of me.
Never do that.
Yes, exactly. People with kidney and liver illnesses, according to the internet, suffer from cirrhosis of the liver. Well, I thought, well, you know, I go out twice a week on Wednesday nights. I play trivia with the family. And I on Friday nights, I might celebrate the end of a work week and go out with the wife and have like a drink or two. But I don't think cirrhosis of the liver was really a thing. No. So then also another problem online that they identified with kidney and liver disease was a particular type of cancer that my sister happened to die of just 2 years ago. And so that was scary.
Scared you quite a bit.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. When she found out the news, she was dead within 5 months.
Wow.
And so I was afraid of that.
Horrible.
Then I also read up that another problem with your kidney liver could be diabetes. And of all those three things, I was actually hoping, ironically, that it was diabetes, you know, because it sounds like that is manageable at least. But so then finally, after 48 hours of being worried and sad, and I love my life, I love the routine I'm in, and I thought, oh man, it might all be gone. And I saw the doctor, and he identified it as fatty liver disease, something that didn't show up on the internet at all. He basically explained that I have to change my lifestyle. I have to have portion control when I eat, and I have to have sugar control. And I thought back on my usual life, and what I had sort of suffered from was just the illusion that I was immune. I thought, as long as I took in less calories than I used every day, that there would be no repercussions. Mm-hmm. There'd be no ramifications. I could eat whatever the heck I want with, once again, no ramifications. And as long as I was over the long run losing weight, I was fine. And so 2018, 2019, I started walking an extra 1 hour, 5 minutes every day or
Excellent.
Every night. And that would be 3 miles. And I figured that the calories I burned in 3 miles gave me the right to just sort of sugar holic it up. But then when this came to light from the doctor, he explained to me that, well, basically by taking in all this sugar, I was sort of treating my kidneys and my liver almost like an alcoholic. I had no idea, but when you are an alcoholic and you drink all that alcohol, and your body breaks it down, it becomes sugar. And what I was doing with all the sugar intake, being a sugarholic myself, was really treating my body as if I was an alcoholic and then drinking.
Absolutely.
So what I did was identified five behaviors that I did that I thought, okay.
Wonderful. I can't wait to hear these.
All right. And if I change these, hopefully it'll change the numbers.
And this occurred when, if you don't mind?
This was September. Yep.
Okay. So Michael is sharing with us five behaviors that he incorporated to change his sugar addiction. And I love the analogy that you used with the alcohol, because so many of us ignore that. So many of us sweep that under the carpet. And what's being triggered with sugar, and I don't know if your doctor explained this to you, is the dopamine receptor in your brain is being stimulated every time you eat sugar. And that is causing this dopamine to be constantly overstimulated, that you want more sugar. It just can't get enough of it. So it maxes out, this causing it to become six times more addictive than crack cocaine. Sugar is six times more addictive than crack cocaine. So you can't get enough of it, like you said. So please continue. I can't wait to hear your five.
Okay. Well, let me begin by saying I am Michael Barrett and I'm a sugarholic.
Okay.
All right. The doctor said to go by the 80-20 rule, because yes, we're human. We're not perfect. And if we were to try to go 100%, I'm not so sure. I probably would
just... the same rule.
Okay. So the first thing I did was cut out pop. The pop is just sugar with a bunch of water in mm-hmm. it. And the, or I should say water with a bunch of sugar in it. And the, one of my huge just weaknesses is I'd love to go to lunch and go to the local 7-Eleven and buy a Mountain Dew slush. And I had to do away with those darn Mountain Dew slushes.
That's a lot of sugar.
And you know what? It's been 6 months and I have had about three Mountain Dews since then, but that's,
and that's the 80-20 rule,
but I'm not having it every day like I used to.
Yep. Okay. That's the 80-20 rule.
So number one, cut out that pop.
Excellent.
Number two, at night, and this was especially upon the heels of finishing a walk, I would love to go to bed, say 1 a.m. or so, with a nice cold glass of milk. And well, you can't really enjoy a cold glass of milk unless you have some cookies or cake or something like that with it.
Yeah.
So there I am, 1 a.m. eating, pouring a bunch of cookies and milk into my face. And it was mostly the cookies that I think, had all the sugar that I thought, okay.
But milk contains a lot of sugar also.
Okay. I didn't know.
It sure does. Yeah. And it spikes your insulin levels. And, those of you listening, it's not just about the sugar. It spikes your insulin levels. It causes your cortisol to spike at night. It causes all sorts of havoc. So go ahead.
Okay. And so, and now and then I still do the late night treats.
80-20.
Yep. So, but I cut those out in essence every night. Good. All right. And that was almost like a religion thing. Like, oh, I have to go to bed. Well, I must do this.
Right.
All right. Then I got into the habit of whenever I left the office, I was done with the workday, I would treat myself. I'd go into my cohort's office and he had a whole, let's say, jar full of chocolates, those mini Hershey chocolates. And I would have at least two or three. No, that's not good enough. I would choose five. Okay. Five would be good for
five
the,
was the number.
For the, yeah, yeah. And then on the way home, it's a 12-minute ride home. I could get through those five, okay. But then that wasn't good enough. I would go downstairs into the kitchen and grab a Rice Krispie treat. So now I'm sugar-holicking it up on the way home, those 12 minutes.
But, I like how you have, and those of you listening, I hope you can all relate, Michael is justifying every one of these things. He's not just saying, I had the Rice Krispie treat. There's a justification after a long, hard day at work. After, do you hear how he's saying this? It's all justified, and that makes it that much more real and harder to give up. But yes, thank you for explaining it like this.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, then, on Sundays, we love to go to church. This is number four. And afterwards, go to breakfast. Mm-hmm. And my oldest daughter, Cassie, she once told me, boy, Dad, I really marvel how you order in a breakfast. You just go for it. And what she was referring to is, I'd order a lot of food, but I would also triple up on the drinks. I would have, let's see, the tall glass of apple juice, which now I find out sort of breaks down to a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
I would also have a tall mango smoothie, which once again, I found out now it breaks down to a lot of sugar. And I would have to have a cold frappuccino with some whipped cream and caramel in it.
Goodness.
So that with that triple, you know, that triple play there, I could go ahead and eat my breakfast. I could,
yeah,
you know, get through it, let's say. And I decided, okay, no more. I have to just,
that's amazing.
I drink a lot of ice water nowadays at the restaurants.
That's amazing. So,
and then sugar, let's say trick number five that I've been doing is that, like I mentioned, on Wednesday nights, we'd play trivia and I'd order two or three frou-frou drinks, or in other words, the alcoholic drinks, okay? Or Friday night, I'd say, hey, it's the end of the work week, let's go out and celebrate. And we'd go to a restaurant, and once again, I'd have to order two of those frou-frou drinks or three. And now I bet you since September, I think I've had, so just cutting out alcohol, I probably have had about like four alcoholic drinks or whatever since September.
Amazing.
And, but by cutting out those five sugar opportunities for me,
yes,
and
yes,
it shed away the pounds, and it wasn't magic, because some of it has come back, but that's probably from overeating and some of my other areas.
Sure.
I mean, because I haven't quite, you know, let's say focused in on the other thing that the doctor was saying about portion control.
Sure,
you know, I watch it a little bit, but I've been hitting up mainly on the sugar.
Well,
I knew
it
that
sounds
was...
to me like you're asking to sign up for my program. I mean, I don't know about that. We'll talk about that later. But anyways, the point of you being here is, one, I am so impressed by this. I am so impressed by this because, one, the amount of sugar that you are taking in, it is insane. And I have to ask you, do you have any idea how much the average American takes in sugar in pounds a year?
Pounds, huh? Let's say 234.
185 pounds.
Oh, that's close.
Of sugar a year,
okay,
is the average American.
That's 49 pounds.
Yeah.
Off. That's not
it's
bad.
It's crazy, but that we just take that so for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And it perpetuates, because when we want the sugar, we want the sugar, we want more sugar. And it's hidden in so many different places. There are over 80 names for sugar on the market that are labeled in a way to confuse the consumer. I see it all day long. Irene, but it's beet sugar. Irene, but it's molasses sugar. It doesn't matter. It's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar is sugar. I don't care how you look at it. And actually what's becoming worse is even the artificial sugars, because the artificial sugars are trashing our ability to absorb nutrients, and it's causing havoc on our opportunity to produce the proper energy patterns.
Yeah.
But I have to ask you, because you guys that are listening must know, this guy's got a ton of energy. Can you hear it through his voice? He's got so much energy. How have your energy, how have your energy patterns changed since you lost the weight? Do you mind sharing how much weight you've lost? And tell us a little bit about your lifestyle. I know that your doctor said he wants you to change your lifestyle a little bit, but tell us a little bit more about what things you like to do. You're an attorney. Tell us about your family, anything else you want to
throw
in.
Well, the lifestyle, as far as like the weight loss, yeah, I lost maybe about 15 pounds, you know, which isn't a big deal.
Amazing.
But, and I gained probably about five back.
Okay.
But, and so it didn't really add to my energy. It took away from my energy, but I was sort of already a high energy individual. You know,
yeah.
So it's sort of like saying, wow, I went from a 10 to a 10.
But
the, I love the bowl. And when I bowl, after I throw the ball, I crouch way down. Like I'm almost doing wreak havoc on my knees.
Yeah.
So, but when I'm bowling, I don't feel any knee pain.
Okay.
I just feel it afterwards.
Good. So you've noticed a change physically, since you lost the weight. What changes have you made, or can you share how it might have changed your life in a professional way? Have you had to change your wardrobe at all?
Yes, it's nice to not have to wear the bigger clothes, and I will look forward to having to buy the skinnier clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
And I have just in the last like I don't know 3 days or so, I have had like three different sets of strangers come up to me and say, wow, you look great.
Awesome. And that is one thing that we notice a lot. People tend to not say something because we feel like, well, gosh, I don't want to say something. I don't want to offend the person. But I hear that a lot where people will say to me, you know, I'm down 15 pounds. No one has said anything yet. So I'm glad to hear that people are starting to articulate that to you. What other healthy lifestyle changes have you made?
Let's see here. I keep walking.
Okay.
And I really haven't done anything else. In fact, I've maybe done especially maybe less walking than I should have in the last 6 months because of the weather.
Okay.
But I do look forward now that it's springtime to go ahead and being able to be out walking a lot. Like last night, I couldn't do my walk because it was raining. But hopefully that'll get better.
Awesome.
But no, I haven't really done any other, you know, physical health difference or things differently, let's say.
And then you have children.
I do.
I believe you have a unique story about
I do.
A
I
birthday.
Have five,
yes, let's hear that.
I have five chillins. And one thing that you know, you've probably never noticed this, Irene, but God has sort of cursed us guys with something called testosterone.
Where, I know about testosterone.
And where we feel like we have to be like the best and the greatest at everything. And the crappy thing about that is that we're not the best at anything. There's always somebody better out there than or can do something better than what you think, you know, you're great at. And but the one exception to that is our kids. Whenever our kids do something that they kick our butts and they do something better than us, that's all right. You know, but I still think it gets back to pride in that I look back and I think, that's my boy, that's my DNA that did that or whatever, you know. So, and I have five children. God has truly blessed me. And each one of them has just kicked my butt in various and different ways. And today I think it's befitting that we talk about, at the very least, talk about my oldest daughter, Cassie. She's 34 years old today. And but I remember when she was born, I was just wrapped around her little finger. And
you're not now anymore?
Well, there turns out to be now a second daughter that has come along here. And you know, five kids total, but two of them are girls and three of them are boys. And back to Cassie, the 34-year-old, she was born and when she was like 1.5 years old, I was, I'm an idiot. We have to edit this, if that's okay. That's what they've been trying to get my attention. She's 33.
We can go back.
That's so bad. Can I just start that section over again about the kids?
We'll go, let's start with
33, 23. 10 years apart.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I've been saying for months, oh, they're going to be 33. And so in my head just now, I'm like, oh, they must be 34 now. But yeah, for months I've been saying they're going to be 33. So they are now 33.
33. Okay. Yeah, so today. I will start with the commercial break, and then I will ask about your family.
Okay.
Because I never did the commercial break.
Okay.
Okay. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Get You Fit Radio with your host, Irene Cook. And today I have a special guest. His name is Michael Barrett, and he is sharing with us his sugar addiction, his former sugar addiction, and interestingly, how he cut his sugar addiction. But first, I want to tell you about Stillwell Social. I met Luke, the owner of Stillwell Social. He is a talented guy. If anybody is looking for social media help, for media strategies, Luke is your man. He will help you strategize your Facebook. He will help you with TikTok. He will help you with Instagram. All of your needs, reach out to Stillwell Social for local business needs, and he will help you in the great Chicagoland area. Stillwell Social, I will tag him at the end. Check it out. STILWELLSOCIAL.com. All right, so here we are back with my main man. We're talking about sugar addictions. I was just going to ask Michael to share about his family. Today is April 1st, and I tore him away today on his daughter's birthday. He mentioned today was his daughter's birthday, and I really want him to kind of share a little bit. He's a father of five. He's a real estate attorney. He's a very busy, active man, and I really want to have him share a little bit about his family life and tell us a little bit about his unique story of his daughter, I believe, born today.
Yes. Well, 33 years ago today, I became a father for the first time. And my precious little Cassie was born.
Oh, congratulations.
And I was wrapped around her little finger the minute she came out the chute. probably when she was about a year and a half old, 2 years old, she looked up at me with those big blue eyes and blinked and said, "Daddy, can I have a sister?" Well, that put the pressure on me, you know, because I guess biologically speaking, they say it's the guy that determines that whole XXXY thing. So I said, "Well, I'll see what I can do about that." And so we went ahead and there were some miscarriages, and then there was a brother that came along, and then maybe another miscarriage, and then another brother came along, and then unfortunately a divorce came along, and luckily it was very amicable, and that, okay, you know, thank God. We still, in fact, my ex-wife is a friend today.
Excellent.
I got married again. And she was pregnant, and she went to her 6-month checkup, and the doctor said, there's a problem with this pregnancy. And they actually, next thing she knows, she was checked into a hospital all the way in Rockford, and she had something called severe preeclampsia.
I'm familiar.
And it's what they used to call a toxemia, where basically the baby is slowly poisoning the mama's system.
How far along was she?
6 months. Okay. And they told her that, you know, basically your daughter is going to be born sometime in the next day or two.
Oh my gosh.
Like 3 months early. And so that scared the heck out of her, of course. So as soon as they got her over at Rockford Memorial, they pumped her full of magnesium, which makes you very emotional.
Yeah.
And then they carted us through the NIC unit there. And the people at the Rockford Memorial were just awesome. And but to see all these babies, you know, there were alarms going off where whenever one of them stops breathing or one of their hearts stop, you know, the nurses have to rush in and take care of things. And there were at 50 beds, I believe, at the NIC unit then. This is, you know, 20, or I'm sorry, well, this was 23 years ago or so. And the it made my wife very emotional, and it was partly because of the magnesium that she was on. But to look at all these
taxing
babies, yes, where, yes, this is, you know, you love your baby and you're just helpless. You know, you can't do anything to help them. And you just have to hope that the nurses, yeah, and the doctors can take care of them. And so it was my job to keep her calm.
Aww.
Because with the whole preeclampsia thing, the baby slowly poisons the mama's system.
Yes,
and at
toxic.
A certain point, the mama's blood pressure gets too high.
Correct.
And they have to take the baby.
Yep.
And when it gets too dangerously high, otherwise you lose both the mama, yep, and the baby. And so my job was to keep her calm, keep that blood pressure down. And I'd go to court in the morning, her blood pressure would go up. I'd go back to the hospital in Rockford after court in Woodstock and in the morning, and her blood pressure would go down a little bit. Then I'd have to go back to court in the afternoon, and her blood pressure would go up. And we did, and I'd come back and it would go down.
Wow.
Well, we did this, and, you know, thank goodness she lasted several days in there until it did get too high. They said, okay, we have to take the baby now. Your blood pressure is too high. And so she was born by C-section, and they let me go around and watch the birth and everything, even though it was a C-section.
Yeah.
And I was proud of myself and that I didn't faint. And the
good job.
But it was awesome. It was awesome to see the birth of my daughter. And but if you notice, I said daughter. So it was finally the sister that the other one had been waiting for all those
years.
So the first person that I called was not my mom, not my dad, but my daughter Cassie, to tell her. And she had been waiting for this call for several days, and she's like, dad, do you have the baby? And I said, yes. She said, well, what'd you have? And I said, well, we had a baby girl.
Oh, that's so awesome.
As a parent, you got to have your fun while you can.
Of course.
So so she screamed, you know, threw down a phone and said, I've got a sister.
Amazing.
And I would imagine the two boys politely in the background went, yay.
Yeah.
Clapping. But the beautiful thing is that all of this happened on Cassie's 10th birthday.
I love that so much.
So April Fool's Day of 91, I had a daughter, firstborn of that particular marriage. And then April Fool's Day of 2001, we had a daughter, firstborn of our marriage. Our
amazing.
And so and I was a class clown in my class back in high school. So to have two April Fool's daughters, it's like the world has come to a perfect circle of perfection.
And those of you listening, wow, I just have to say, Michael's wife is here. Also, she's sitting in my office listening to this broadcast. And what a beautiful, beautiful story. I mean, is there anything that you would like to add?
Well, happy birthday, Cassie, 33, and happy 23rd birthday to the beautiful Alex. There's something special this year in that it's probably a birthday they both will never forget. About 4 or 5 days ago, Cassie, the 33-year-old, called up Alexandra and surprised her and said, I am going to fly out from Dublin. She lives in Dublin, Ireland, and spend our birthdays together with you at Arizona State University, where my youngest daughter goes to college. So right now, today, they are together in Arizona. In fact, my oldest daughter in Dublin flew out with her husband. And so the three of them are partying together, having definitely happy birthday celebrations.
Awesome. That is the picture that I would like to tag onto this. I will absolutely be adding that. I look forward to checking that out. Such a beautiful, beautiful family. I love hearing that. And thank you for coming. Thank you. And enjoy your Cubs game. We're all decked out in Cubs gear today for the April 1st game of the year. So those of you listening, check out Wednesday night. I am doing a live webinar on gut health. And be sure to check out all of the links I'm going to add to the social media posts. Lots of stuff. Luke Stillwell, thank you for taking amazing pictures today. And check out his deal. Lots of great things from Luke Stillwell. And I will talk to you guys soon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Make no excuses now, I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now, let's go. Your time is running.